Welcome, everyone. This is Paul Keaton. Joining me today, Steve Raymond, David Clark, and this is our weekly video for October 23rd, 2017. And I guess if there's something that stands out a little bit, I know, Steve, on some of your stuff recently bolded is the overbought levels of the S&P 500 and some of the core market indicators. And that's worth talking about. We've obviously seen a nice run in equity benchmarks, global equity benchmarks. But in the U.S., it's getting to some numbers that, you know, might scare people, at least draw some attention, at least get you thinking about, is this market overbought? Is it too overbought? Thoughts?
Well, first you need to put on your translator a little bit, because when you look at a like a WD chart of, you know, on the stock side or the index side of our site, you know, 100 is a overbought, you know, kind of level. Ceiling, if you will, on the fund side. When we're looking at the funds, those numbers tend to go up by some measure. So when a fund group gets overbought by 125%, we bold that number, and that number translates back as people that observe these numbers get used to a little bit of a difference. But either way, you're there. You've entered the neighborhood where a group hits 125% or greater in its overbought equation. What we tend to see, or what I tend to see on the market, especially in the U.S., is that 125 to 150 zone is, you know, you got a lot of high watermarks that hit that area and rarely go beyond that, although that has occurred. But you could say that right now you entered the neighborhood of, you know, some of those high watermarks that we're going to probably see, including this one, which we're still in the middle of. And you have to ask yourself a question: is, you know, how do I, you know, what's my game plan? What does my game book say when we enter into an overbought level? What do I do next?
And worth mentioning, you know, we saw similar environment in March of this year, similar OBOS readings for many of the U.S. equity fund groups, many of the, you know, the WD SPX chart, which takes all of your S&P 500 stocks, and it takes the average distribution reason. Rating of those 500-ish securities. And, you know, there are a number of different OBOS readings. You can look at the weekly distribution of just the S&P 500 index, or where is it on its 10-week trading band. And we're at or approaching levels that we've not seen since March, but we did in fact see in March. And it hasn't been a horrible market from March to now. And it reminds us that we don't typically see overbought conditions in weak or bearish markets. It's something that generally is helps define a bull market.
Right. Dreyfus, many decades ago, came up with this adage that said, you don't call market tops. And one of the things that he was dealing with or mentioned is just because something seems overbought doesn't mean it can't get more overbought, or it doesn't necessarily mean that there's an end to a cycle. You just don't know. You could say, though, that at the moment you may be too overbought to put in a new big block of money. Right. You could say that, and maybe wait for a better price in a near-term set of time periods, you know, right ahead of us, days, a week, 2 weeks. I think that's what it's about. You know, how do you manage the, you know, that short run? And I think knowing that you're in an overbought, you know, area is good news.
Well, and to your all's points, I mean, whether looking at the WD All, WD SPX, I pulled up the WD Average, which basically takes the average weekly distribution for all the Dorsey Wright 40 sectors, and all three of them are getting up to that 30 mark for a couple of the charts, which is sort of notable, and 40 for the WD SPX.
Right.
And it's one of those things of, you're right, they could go higher. There's no reason they couldn't go, you know, any higher.
Right.
But we have seen a couple of them pull back. So just kind of watching and knowing what the game plan is moving forward over the next couple of weeks is really important.
Yeah, different level, different areas of the site become more useful. We start looking at, you know, buy on pullback reports, which is a report that's run daily for you. What it does is it helps you identify things that are generally technically sound, but that offer a price or an entry point that's within 10% of its bullish support line. Mm-hmm. And this is a list that we expect today, as you would expect today. Not a ton of stocks. You know, you're not going to get 500, you know, stocks, 1,000 stocks on that list right now, because the average stock in the S&P 500, at least, is, you know, pretty overbought. So it's 34% overbought. And we've talked about with that indicator, with that S&P 500, 40% is historically a high watermark. So you don't see a ton of stocks on that buy on pullback report now, but it's the type of report that becomes very helpful. You know, it's a type of thing to look at on at least a weekly basis as things you're interested in show up. That's a great early warning system for you that they've probably come back in and improved a risk-reward scenario. We're going into really the meatiest weeks of earnings. And you'll see the headlines, you know, for, you know, plenty of stocks will be down 10-15% in a day. And that's great for a headline on many media sources. But what's more helpful for you is, well, did that just bring the stock right back down to where it needs to be bought? You know, what's normal for the stock or the middle of its trading band? So with a good piece that you might want to fall back on with clients over the next couple weeks, we did a study using WDSPX, so that indicator, which you can pull up just like a, you know, chart of IBM on the site. And we looked at every time over the past almost 20 years where that reading had gotten to that 40% or higher level. And what you found is, you know, only 4 out of 20 times was the market down over the next 1 month. And the track record over 3 months and 6 months is very good. You know, the average 6 month returns for the market are 6% even after you've gotten to that 40% level. And just reinforces what we've been saying that, you know, an overbought market is more times than not, it's a very healthy market. It's maybe just gotten a little ahead of itself, and you have to be more careful with entry points, buying on pullbacks, partial positions, adding into weakness, which inevitably, you know, you'll get some things that you like, and you just should like more, you know, after maybe a bad earnings release or something like that. So December, what is the date of this one? December 14th, 2016. December 14th, 2016, that daily report had one of those studies on looking at markets after they've already reached overbought territory. What can we expect? And it helps with the conversation with clients that this doesn't create a bad market, but it's an overbought market, and it should offer an opportunity to you know, consider some different tools.
Case in point, small cap value, one of the important style boxes, if you're thinking of the U.S. market in a style box category, a great returning asset over the long haul. I can't think of one in the U.S. that returns more, but over the long haul. However, very volatile, yada, yada. And even in 2017, major pullbacks out of being in leadership early in the year. And that group, you know, actually moved down below the score of 3 over the near few months. Then the good news is it has rebounded back. You know, in other words, it had its pullback. Rebounded back. Now it's the second strongest U.S. style in score direction, small growth being stronger. But it shows you that you know, all these independent groups or different groups can have their pullback that they may have needed, and then they get back up on the horse and get moving again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that could happen with different sectors, you know, starting going here forward. We don't know. But the market's really got a great, you know, relative strength, you know, signal bias, and particular groups may pull back. Small value was that example, gave you a great opportunity to get in, still is a great opportunity to get in. And that's what you're looking for. Where's the opportunity? You know, maybe a group that's already, you know, cooled down, move back in, wait for the next group to cool down.
And in a broad sense, small caps kind of qualifies there anyway, because we've seen notable improvement out of that space really since kind of the beginning of September, and is now really a group that, you know, as we move towards the end of the year, could be a look to group you, or you might be able to pick up a little alpha.
Yeah, my point was too narrow. It actually was all small caps. Yeah. But the interesting about small value, though, is, and that's this, small value stocks, okay, account for well over the majority of indicator that we normally might look at, or you know, bullish percents, New York Stock Exchange, OTC, whatnot. All these indicators are dominated by small value stocks. When small value has a problem, it drags those indicators down, regardless of what the other generals or other asset classes might be doing. And then when small value resurges, as we've seen recently, it helps those indicators. And that's going on in the background too. So you're right, David. You know, small cap in general is improving, starting to pick it up. Small value is part of that. And you know, I think small value is part of the bullishness of a market's fabric. Small companies, and you know, how are they faring, and you know, tax treatments, this and that, you know, but, you know, that breadth that's coming from, you know, the small caps, and again, particularly small value, because small value has an enormous headcount of stocks in an indicator, whereas mm-hmm. small growth companies have a very minority headcount. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't categorize nearly as many companies of small growth as you would small value. So anyway, small cap in general, great subject. You know, be advised, be aware that, you know, that's an opportunity.
So core U.S. market, S&P 500, 103% overbought. Let's add a little bit of context to that. The S&P at 2570 is at the top of its 10-week trading band. You can pull up a chart, SPX comes up, you see top on the right-hand side, you'll see mid, and then you'll see bottom. That is defining and illustrating the weekly trading band. And so to get an idea of what it would mean for the S&P to open tomorrow at a 0% level on its weekly distribution, that would be at 2490. What does that really mean? That's a little more than a 3% drop. So for the market, if it were to open and one day later at what would be considered a normal price, we're just talking about 3% lower on a core benchmark for the U.S. equity. And that's what you get in a world in which volatility levels are so low.
Right.
Trading bands condense. It doesn't take a heck of a lot to get overbought. Doesn't take a heck of a lot to provide a pullback that, quite frankly, you know, the middle of the trading band might be a lofty expectation for the market. In strong markets, you don't often get that. But keep that as a general, you know, point of reference inside your mind. When we talk about pullbacks, what are we talking about for the market? We're not talking about 15% or 20% to the middle of the trading band,
right,
like you might see in a really volatile market or for a very volatile sector. But instead, we're talking about a distribution where 3% down gets you right back to the middle of a trading band. So that's something to keep in mind.
And let's reinforce that point, because those that are looking for that big dip, yep, you know, statistically may never even see it. In other words, they're getting it. Well, let's say in the context of the stage you just set, meaning you're looking for the 10% pullback, but you got the 3 that Paul suggested would be statistically what you probably should be looking for, less than 3, but you're waiting for the 10. Well, you know, it gives you the 2.8 or the 3 and continues its merry way. You never saw the 10. So, you know, yeah. I think what Paul is saying is set expectations that, you know, a pullback that gets you to the neutral zone, the middle of the 10-week trading band, is only so wide in this context. And to look for more means you must have a very different opinion about this market. You know,
if you're waiting for 5,
right,
you're still waiting since the beginning of this year. Right,
yeah.
There hasn't been a 5% correction, and at least the cap weighted U.S. market benchmark this year. So
right,
that's what you get with an extremely low volatility market. You know, the ebbs and flows are almost imperceivable at times.
Yeah,
but
to your point,
yeah,
and we're count the days till the seasonally strong period of the market, which is, most people say, November.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're in the month of September and October where some of these anomalies of drawdowns typically have occurred, and we haven't seen it yet. But the, you know, we're heading, you know, with only a market week or, you know, 8 days, you know, to get to November, and we could say that that's all behind us, you know. And now we enter into this seasonally strong period of the market where really, I mean, if you think about even all the rudimentary strategies, 401k, you know, big accounts, this, that, and the other, this idea of getting your inventory set up, in early November to take advantage of November and December, because December usually is a very strong month return-wise, you know, the idea is that's exactly what we're going to do. You know, we're gonna move into, you know, November, and we're gonna, you know, recalibrate portfolios that need recalibrated, let's say. But you know, we got to go forward, you know, with going with the relative strength leaders, and maybe not so much worrying about, you know, where the pullbacks are going to come from. I'm sure that there could be some, but you know, we're just starting the seasonally strong period here in a week or two, unless I'm wrong.
No, it's on the calendar. It's on the calendar. On a sector level for U.S. equities, there's been a little waffling. I mean, the established sector leadership, quite frankly, just hasn't changed. You've seen coming into the year, industrials, technology, financials. That hasn't changed, quite frankly, other than maybe aspects of financial, hasn't even been threatened this year. You know, those have been three solid leadership groups. Maybe something that's a bit emerged this year, healthcare, and maybe something that's perhaps taken a bit of a step back or waffled a bit, consumer cyclicals. And those two groups are kind of middle of the road right now. I guess one more emergent group we could talk about is basic materials. That's something we've written quite a bit about in the report. But specifically healthcare and consumer cyclicals, kind of interesting, battling out for the kind of fourth and fifth spots for broad groups in Dali. And when you look inside those groups, you do see a bit of dispersion. And healthcare, I think we could look at the healthcare group now and say probably the leading subcategory in healthcare has pretty much identified itself.
Apparently.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think it's already found out who it is.
Okay. So next week we'll talk about So biotechs right now. That's something that if you have no exposure there or you're still scared from what happened in late 2015, early 2016, no one will fault you for that. By the way. But biotechs are a bit of an emergent trend. The scores across biotech ETFs, there's IBB, FBT, a number of different securities that offer easy exposure to the biotech group. But you've seen positive trend change, you've seen relative strength improvement, you've seen signal improvement, and that's a group that, as a subcategory, I don't know that there's many that beat it within the U.S. market.
Right.
Say.
Right. I think that what you're looking at is that score has moved up to a 484. It's one of the next closest groups to actually get that five score and better status.
And that's where things like internet have lived for
yes.
a while, right?
Right. And so that would be the home of, the leader groups like internet through the year. The average biotech fund of any kind, and they're not that many. I mean, 30, 40, let's say, funds out there, both of the mutual fund and ETF variety. But the average of all those funds is up 1.31 points in the recent rolling period of time. So it's a pretty good snapback, or snap up to get us close to that five line. And I think that's just the next barrier that we're probably going to see, punch out. So, biotech's above five, that's a, we've seen, as you recall, Paul, by 2012, 2013, 2014, the biotech's being able to be in these high five levels.
Oh, yeah.
And carry, literally carry models, carry markets, be a big thing. And we don't want to discount that can't be true again, and that's why I want to make sure that when you see groups able to hit five and stay at five and be at five, I mean, that's a big thing. And it's not hard, it is hard on this system to get to five levels and hold them. So that's a story maker, if you will.
Sure.
And that's what you want to keep an eye out, I think, this month as we cross into November, meaning the seasonal cycle strengthening could very well be the case, and we may have a new group that lives at five. So
Right now the broad healthcare group being propelled a bit in large part by some of these biotechs is the second best performing broad group this year, second only to technology. And there's just two broad groups that are up more than 20% this year, that being technology and healthcare. So healthcare, clear where the leadership is. The if there's a weakness to healthcare, it's certainly been in the HMOs and specifically the drug retail related portion of healthcare, and also the drug retail related portion of consumer cyclicals. If you were looking for what's kind of caused decay in the consumer cyclical group, that's largely been the category. Just over the past couple weeks, we've seen relative strength sell signals in Walgreens, I believe. Cardinal Health, I believe, was another that gave a relative strength sell signal. Generally, when you look at that picture of drug-related retail, Express Scripts, CVS, Walgreens, these are all names that, on a technical basis, have shown or show currently a very depleted technical resume, certainly when compared to a lot of the stuff, especially in consumer cyclical, that's holding up fine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, comparatively speaking to when you're looking at, CVS, Walgreens, Booz Allianz, things like that, I mean, you've seen them fall down to lows that haven't been identified in years almost. I mean, so definitely has been.
As a market's hitting new all-time highs.
As a market's hitting new highs, right. These stocks are falling to new lows within that aspect. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely. So many other groups in there. Autos have been a much stronger group. In general, cyclical goods and services as a kind of a big sector within consumer cyclicals has been better.
And it's been interesting over the past, 90 days or so. One of the sectors, and it's, again, kind of almost flown under the radar, like I said, is the auto sector in terms of its relative improvement. Kind of within the DWA group matrix, it's moved up 11 spots. Really the only other sector to show any of that similar improvement from a relative standpoint was precious metals through Q3. So kind of interesting that autos and parts was out there leading the way. But within the space, there's definitely quite a bit of opportunity. There are some names that are overbought, but companies like Fox Factory Holdings, symbol XOXF, offers opportunity right now for someone to take exposure to that autos and parts, sort of give you a industrials play almost. Another one that you could look to would be Ferrari, symbol RACE, R-A-C-E. This was on our small cap ideas list, I believe, sometime last week. But, within the autos and parts sector, also definitely one we could consider within that group too. So, been kind of an under the radar improver, but is something that, like many things we've talked about today, as we move towards the end of the year, here's an area where you could look for a little opportunity.
Yeah, so, I don't want to spoil anything, but because it's a great narrative there, but another, I don't know if it's related, but I keep seeing this group called Commodities show up on the improving direction list. Don't want it to be there, but it's competing.
It's inconvenient.
It seems inconvenient. It'd be great to tell a negative story and keep it negative. But the score directions for just commodities in general keep showing up at a relatively high on the directional list. Directional means improving in relative strength, improving in score. Not wildly improvement, but certainly compared to other assets, improving at a rate that you have to take into account. So you could say that's a group you keep your eye out for, to see if this improvement leads to anything, especially as we move into the fourth quarter. Is there something there? It could be. Commodities haven't shown high on a directional list for quite a while, and now they're here.
Well, at a minimum, the kind of coming out of the basement has kind of underpinned some of the success that the basic material equity pieces have had. And, that's not just emerged, it has emerged, and it's now a high enough ranking sector where it absolutely can be used. As you watch the other piece, the raw material piece of the commodity markets, try to help you make a case, as inconvenient as it may be.
Right.
But, hopefully that's helpful for getting some perspective for where markets are now heading into the last half of October. Keep in mind during earnings season, great to use some limit orders. Use the site to help you set alerts. It's very easy to, you can look at something like that has a picture like the S&P 500 and say, gosh, I'd like to buy it a little bit lower. You can set all these alerts on the site to put in price alerts, or maybe just, I'll oftentimes just put in a reversal. I want to just tell me when the thing has at least reversed into a column of O's, just three boxes down. Oftentimes you'll get a lot of that through the next couple of weeks as markets are figuring their way through earnings season. And that can be just the right tap on the shoulder to get you to look at something that might have bettered the risk-reward scenario for you. So appreciate it, guys, and appreciate you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.